Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Boy, it's been a weird week. I thought for some reason we skipped yesterday, but we were here. I skipped yesterday. I went to sleep the whole day. The whole day. It was nice because I got a text from Bert Kreischer to like 20 of us on a text thread about everyone that was on the tour. And he was like, did anyone else get like was anyone else completely worthless today? And I guess it's irregular for him to feel that way coming back from a trip too, because he's just go, go, go. But this one was so much different than any road experience I've ever been on. And we were all like, yeah, I literally wrote back to his text that came in at 10 p.m. at 11:30. I was like, I just woke up 11:30 p.m. at night after sleeping all day. And then I went to bed by 2 and slept through the night. It was so exhausting. And I just woke up again. I had a dentist appointment this morning that I didn't plug in my phone last night before I went to sleep. I just thought it'll make it. Even though I do white noise blaring all night long, and so that drains the battery, I just thought it has enough juice to make it through. I'm only sleeping. I have to get up at 6:30. That's 4.5 hours of juice. And I woke up to just silence of like, oh no. And, you know, just I have blackout curtains, so I don't know anything about the time of day. And luckily, I did not wake up at 6:30, but I woke up at 8:02. And my dentist appointment was at 8:30, so I went and got a filling. My face is numb. And then I went and got a car wash, and then I came back here and I slept. And
car wash?
I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah, I just drove through one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
My car was getting too dusty. Do you ever do those things?
Yeah, I like getting in there.
Yeah, I don't want to get out, and I don't want people to like get inside my car, but the outside, I love it. So peaceful in those. I used to freak out as a kid. They used to be one of my biggest fears. My parents would not go. They couldn't
go. Did you think you'd get crushed or something?
No, I just thought they were monsters. Like all these raggedy, like I thought they were Cookie Monster evil, like evil cookie monsters because they're just like sloppy and wet, just like thrashing all over your window. And it's they're like Muppet kind of.
Yeah, they are.
Consistency.
That would be.
Snuffleupagus was one of my biggest fears. And it just felt like his trunk was just slapping our car. And it's loud too.
What cars did you have growing up?
A blue Toyota van.
Like that's like the first car you can remember your parents
no,
having?
No, I remember the first car I really remember, my dad would be mad because he'd be like, do you remember our green little car?
Yeah, I
barely remember my dad having a very green little car. And then apparently I was the one that spotted it like on the road, but we got a gold, I love the color gold, a gold Volvo. Station wagon.
Oh, it was on the side of the road for sale?
Well, like at a dealership. But I was like, okay, what about that one? And then they were like, and they got it.
That's pretty cool that they like, listened to you. Like, oh, we had this, you know, a checker, like a taxi cab, but it was blue. It was like the most piece of shit, like giant. It was
but
giant.
But you didn't
in there.
Have it because it was like cheap or something.
Yeah, no, it's because, yeah, my dad didn't. Doctors don't really make money until a little bit later,
okay,
you know? And yeah, we just had a real piece of shit checker that was gigantic, that checkered, would fit the kids. Yeah, checker.
Yeah.
Sounded cool.
Checkered.
Huh? Is there an ED on the end?
Noah, you want to take this one?
What happened there?
Is her shirt stripe or striped?
Stripe.
Her shirt is stripe? If someone's
Michael
wearing
stripe.
A stripe. No.
If she has a striped shirt.
If a shirt has polka dots on it, is it polka dot or is it polka dotted?
No, the car didn't have. It was a checker. That's the name of the car.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. What
well, you
did
just
you
said
think?
It was. I was thinking taxi cab, like checkered, like it was. That was the pattern on it. Checker. I'd never even heard of that car.
Oh, I don't know.
Checker
taxi. Checker taxi, yes, is a dominant taxi cab company. Blah 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 dominant. In Chicago,
kind of,
Illinois.
Like, turned on.
Yeah, the car. It was. It's pretty cool. And
you,
then
you
what
get
else?
It and say sharp, you bitch.
I remember my mom got a Jaguar.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's when the money
that's
started coming
Florida,
in.
That's where the Florida, that's where your tattoo came from.
Yeah, from mom's first car.
It was after your
car.
Mom's first car.
Yeah. And it was funny because like the whole marriage was falling apart and she got this brand new car. And I think my dad bought it. It was like one last attempt to like reconcile. Yeah. Car was pretty cool though, you know.
So many people do things like that to just like the final dying breaths of a relationship.
Yeah, one last Hail Mary.
Or even like she's like, I'm gonna buy this because I know this is going away and I'm gonna be on a stipend. A Michael Stripend after this.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna grab something pretty sweet. I guess it was a present for from your dad.
And then my dad got a Porsche, I remember, for like his 40, like that over the hill.
Oh, the old look the other way, Jaguar. Hey, if you
yeah,
spend
you
a
want
time
a Jaguar,
this,
I'm getting a Porsche.
Yeah.
My parents also got like the Porsche Cayenne like right before they divorced. Maybe that's like the divorce car.
It's like you know what it is? Maybe it's like when people have a baby so that they think that's going to make them do better because obviously it's going to make them like have a new thing that to focus on. It's that for people who can't have babies anymore. It's like a new thing that
new
I spend
kid,
a bunch
yeah.
of money on that's going to unite us to like make us stay together.
Yeah,
I mean, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Andrew's
I remember him.
Checker cab story, it just reminded me. So my dad used to love buying used cars. One time, okay, so he got like this one.
And then like flipping them? I guess you can't.
No,
flip
just
a car.
Just using them. One
Unless
time he bought. Yes, flipping them into a ditch and then getting another used car. One time he did that and
there.
He bought an old news van, an AM station news van.
Did it still have the stickers on it and everything?
It had a whole scenery printed of like
cool.
Like daytime with like a rainbow and like a football and soccer. And he came to pick me up from high school and I was
mortified.
Like I just wanted to die. I just like wanted to run into traffic. I was so embarrassed.
Did it have like a satellite off the back?
It didn't have the satellite. Inside the seats had like rainbows like in the middle of them. And it was just
but
like,
it said like a
so
team you can trust.
Yes, it was so
NBC4.
Weird.
Oh God,
it was like
AM
weird. 7 something.
You're like, why can't you just forget to get me like the other kids that get traumatized instead of being on time and picking me up in this
honk honk, little honk honk. Like I don't even.
Oh yeah. Well, I love the vans that we took for the BERT tour were wrapped
which costs so much money. I mean, Bert Kreischer spent so much money making this tour just look cool for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day we had something. We either were like going on the racetrack to like go in fast cars. We were one day it was he had a frisbee golf or a disc golf company come out with their, you know, van and a bunch of guys teaching us how to do disc and set up a whole disc golf course at a racetrack. The other day it was like a gigantic double water slide. That was this huge blow up water slide that we just woke up in the morning. We walk out and there's a water slide set up with a pool and every, like, he just had, he spent so much money. He did not make a lot of money on this. It was just a really, you could just tell he was just doing it for fun. Like he just was,
for the
it
hangs,
wasn't about, even though it was a huge money making machine. Like, you know, we were all making money and then he, yeah, it was for the hangs. That's what was so fun. These guys hang too. I mean, I talk about like, I like to, you know, hang at the venue an hour afterwards. I just want you and Anya and Matt to hang out with me for an hour afterwards. These guys hang out until 4 a.m. with Bert after shows. And I'm like, this is, and that's not what I want, but like, I know that I'm not asking too much for an hour, extra hour hang on these tame shows that are not taking off your shirt, running around the stage, no curtain calls. We can do it. And we're not on buses. We're just flying. We can stay up a little bit later.
I mean, I'm down.
You would have died on this tour. You would have died.
I mean, I think it's, did they go to bars and shit afterwards? Mm-mm. It was just hanging in the green room?
There's an after party that would be on the premises where we were, because some places don't have green rooms. It was like a racetrack, a hockey stadium, a baseball stadium, and then the last night was an outdoor
Do you pay more money to go to the after party? Like, is it regular people?
No, it was like us and then like Bert's friends or like maybe some VIPs that maybe won something or something. But and then after that, it would just dissolve into like tailgating, like out in the by the buses. All it was like we would just breathe in bus fumes just between four buses and just sit in like.
How is he in the morning? I feel like he's one of those guys that power through.
12 o'clock. He wakes up early, but we would all wake up around 12 o'clock and then have breakfast. And no, he's one that he gets sleep, but he's one that just, I mean,
you never see the hangover on him.
Yeah, you do. You see him like, that made me feel good that you could see him be a real human of like, I've reached a threshold. Like this is too much, or like I'm tired, or, you know, he has insane dreams. So one morning he just was like, Nikki, listen to my dream. And they were all, Big J had already heard the dream. Like, they had already heard it. And I walk in the breakfast and he's like, Nikki, I had a dream last night. And they're all like, oh God. And it is the longest dream I've ever heard. I'm like, Bert, how do you, I could compile all the dreams I've had in my lifetime and they wouldn't be as
what
epic and
what was the main
involved.
Theme of his dreams?
Cheating on his wife and trying to tell Chris Rock what he meant to him. But not getting a chance to.
Who did he cheat on his wife with? Like a dinosaur?
I forget. He was about to and then it didn't happen or something like that. He's adorable. I love him so much. And he's just like a
like,
just
I
a
almost
big kid.
Fucked her in my dream.
But
like,
he's so, yeah.
It's like you can't land a flip. You can't fuck. You can't cheat on your wife.
Oh, in the dream.
Like you got to wear a condom.
You're the only one who can't land a flip in your dream. I don't think that's a common dream.
I'm telling you. No, you ever flip in your dream?
Flip?
You ever fall in your dream? You ever feel like you're falling?
Yeah, but then I wake up from that.
You
usually.
Land it?
Yeah, we always have, everyone has a dream where you're in that twilight stage. And you trip or you bump into something and you go, and then you wake up and then you realize you're awake. You know what the dream you and I realize we both have that is very, very
equal rights
specific.
For everyone?
Well, that dream died on Friday. But the dream is when you're flying in a plane, it only happens on planes.
Oh my God, this is a weird dream though.
This is weird. And I looked it up and I couldn't find similarities.
What is it? What is it?
So you're in a, whenever you fall asleep on a plane, I would say 1 out of 5 times I have a dream where I'm in the plane, the same plane maybe, and we realize though that it's like you're in the front seat. You can see out into like where the plane is going, almost like you're hang gliding, right? And it starts going low and going through cities and going under bridges and kind of turning and going through. And all of a sudden there's these metropolises that come out of nowhere and the pilot decides to take a low...
Very low.
A low ride through all of these buildings. And there is a, I would say in my dreams, there is a, I'm freaking out a little bit, but I'm very calm because I'm like out of control. I can't control this. The pilot's going to do it. I trust them because we keep going under these. No one else seems to be freaking out.
Yeah.
There seems to be, and Andrew and I were both like, because I can talk to the pilot for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know where they is, but I can kind of, it's like you're in a bus.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Speaking
Speaking
of being in a bus, like the out of control, I realized my phobia is passenger phobia.
Okay, not having control.
Being a passenger in a van that has too many people, because I get scared of people not wearing the seatbelts, and then when we flip, all the bodies go away or go around and hit each other, because that's how people die a lot of times when cars flip. Everyone goes, "Oh, my friend lived because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt." Well, you're an asshole because maybe you might live, but you're going to hit a bunch of other people with your dumb ankles.
He was on heroin. He was so chill that he just flew through the windshield and landed on his feet.
Yeah. Those stories. Wear your seatbelt. I know you're like, but I don't care if I die. Do it for other people because your body is going to fly around the van.
Well, you must have been scared sleeping in the bus.
I was fucking terrified.
Are there seatbelts on the bed?
I almost bailed on the whole thing because I was having so much anxiety about riding in a bus. I was in Colorado talking about it, thinking about it, because we have to drive through the night. I don't know these bus drivers. I don't know some of these. One of the journeys was 7 hours. One was six. The others were like four. I mean, it was four nights in a bus. Late at night, we leave at 3 a.m.
You wake up, birds driving hammered.
Yeah. I mean, I would have actually felt better about that than one of the drivers.
Why do
we
just trust these bus? We just trust people so much that we don't
know. I started looking into getting separate rides or, it's their profession and there's unions and like laws. So that's
why. Can I ask a question? The beds, they don't have seatbelts?
No. I would have preferred. I would have loved that, but no one would have worn it, so it wouldn't have mattered.
It would have been like a.
Who was in the? If the bus the fell Cubs. To the side, I was in the bus. There were two buses of like passengers, and I was in the bus with like eight sleepers each, and I was in the non-comics bus. I was with a bunch of the crew, so Troy Conrad, he's a photographer, and then a bunch of the other like producers on the team. Like you don't understand. He had. Three guys shooting video, one guy shooting photos, three guys editing videos as the videos were being shot, another woman doing the stage managing, another three women under her doing sit. Like, it was so many people, so many moving parts, people setting up backstage, setting up the catering, people making sure the buses were stocked with food, people making sure there was booze, people making sure that I had my luggage in the right place. Like, it was a production. So I was on the bus with those people, and I really did think about it, like, I didn't look up bus crashes because I knew that I couldn't handle it. But Big J Okerson told me about a bus crash that I didn't even know about that happened. And this is so wild. This was
Metallica.
I don't know what band it was.
Metallica with Cliff Burton.
The guy lost his arm.
Wait, no, bus crash.
Def Leppard's the guy that had his no arm. Who? Wait, what happened with Metallica?
I mean, I just expected Big J to tell you about Metallica's tour bus flipping.
He knows everything about he knows the best music stories ever.
Yeah, so the bus flipped and killed the bassist, Cliff Burton.
If anyone's going to go.
What? That's nuts, and you're not wrong. Wait a second. That's crazy. Well, he told me about one bus crash, and it might have been Def Leppard, that they wouldn't have crashed. Maybe it wasn't them, but it was a rock band. They were leaving a venue, and half the people went in a plane, and half the people went in a bus. And they were fucking with each other, and the plane was trying to fuck with the bus. And so the plane clipped the bus as they were going through, like, you know, they were just trying to fuck with it. The plane hit the bus, and the bus was sent off course and into a fucking tree or whatever. And then everyone on the bus fucking died.
Everyone
in the plane survived. Yeah.
It's like the opposite of La Bamba.
And then, this is the weirdest thing. When we were in South Carolina, I looked up, you know, interesting facts about Greenville, South Carolina. That's where Sweet Home Alabama, Leonard Skinner's plane went down, in Greenville. And so I said, Greenville, South Carolina, of course you guys are well known as the place where, Leonard Skinner's plane crashed. So that's why we're taking a bus. And I was like, and their hockey team was called, or their baseball team was called The Drive. And I was like, it was originally going to be called The Fly, but they vetoed that. But then Big J told me the story of that. So the plane crashes. There's a bunch of survivors.
Yeah, it's wild.
The lead singer escapes from the plane wreckage, starts running to get help. They're out in the fucking boonies. He runs up to a farmhouse in the middle of the night. And the woman or man who he encounters there starts shooting at him because they think he's just a bloody
intruder. The lead singer died.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever ran up. So he survives a plane crash, and then he gets shot at.
Dude, that happened to my stepsister. Not that exactly. That'd be wild. She's like, you don't understand. My stepsister was in a Southern rock band. Her plane crashed. No, she
they
was in
so
a,
many hits.
She drove a
one,
I mean, this is
one
sad.
Final one.
She drove a Trans Am off a cliff. I'm not kidding.
And then she escaped from the wreckage and someone thought she was a ghoul.
She crawls up a 80-foot ravine with a broken back.
Jesus Christ.
Crawls to a house.
This is your stepsister?
Yeah. Melanie. Pretty badass. She had a lot of Red Bull that night.
Yeah.
She knocks on the door. They open the door and they think it's a drug addict fucking with him and slammed the door on her face. And she had to crawl to the next house with a broken back.
Oh my God.
And then Noah's dad buys the Trans Am.
Oh my God.
Yep. And well, drove me to
Ham Drips.
Junior high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
if
cool.
You know the story of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wait, what happened to him?
He
was in a band?
Oh. No, he almost got caught because what he used to do, I believe it was Dahmer. This is in Milwaukee. He used to arrange gay prostitute, like gay meetups, maybe not even prostitutes with men. And then he would, you know, and strangle them, whatever, incapacitate them, and then he would drill in their brain and drip in like weird chemicals that would make them zombies. And then he would eat parts of their brain and like eventually kill them. But that's what he would do. He would drill in their brain places that he knew he could drip, put liquids in that would make them fucking catatonic. Like just.
Was he a doctor or something? Or
no,
a scientist?
No, I mean, he just probably had a library card. And so.
Without Google, that's pretty impressive.
So one of the boys escaped.
Was zombied out.
But he was zombied out, and so he was naked, running around. I could have the details a little bit wrong. He was running around, and so the cops came. The cops found him, and Jeffrey came out and was like, "It's my little brother. He's sick.
Oh.
He's mentally unwell," and took him back. And then they found that kid's fucking head in his refrigerator later on, and he could have been caught then. There's so many stories of that. We got to go to break, Andrew.
Roses. That's it.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time. We hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Oh, no. Roses?
Sometimes you got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
You didn't. I don't even know that you held them or felt them.
I didn't push them.
Corey Feldman.
Oh, God bless him.
Did you get into anything yesterday?
Get into anything.
Wait. Well, oh, can I just share?
You sent me a list of things to do in St. Louis.
Oh, that was wild.
What? Oh, that I was at one of them?
Yes.
One of the eight. I've done 3 of the 8.
Yeah, I sent him an out. There was this. There's this awesome
brewery
page that I follow on Instagram of like best of STL or something. And it had all these like outdoor dining like experiences that I would never go do because I don't do that stuff. But Andrew does. And so I sent him it and I was like, you need to go to these places. Like Brenna and him like to go to them. And he was at one of the send him that one because that one looked the shittiest, no offense, but you were at that one. I skipped that
we
one.
We start from the bottom. We're like Drake. No,
it was probably just a bad picture. I zoomed in on it and it looked cool.
It's one of those like micro breweries where everything has a weird name like Toenails and Lamb or whatever.
Right.
Like you want something hoppy? Well, here's Dennis Hopper's Hops.
Do you really subscribe to beer and like all the different like brewery and stuff?
No,
like,
no.
When you go there, what do you get? Do you get a Truly? Do you get a vodka
tonic? Oh, no, I did. I got the lightest beer pot. It's called like a Chris something. And it
you know that doesn't mean it has the least amount of alcohol, right?
No, okay. It has 5.4%.
Right.
Oh, you know, and then
people think with light cigarettes, it's like less
alcohol. No, it's just more easier on the palate. I don't like a thick. I've never liked it.
Guinness is like the least amount of alcohol.
Isn't that weird?
It's so weird. Yeah. And my and friend calories. Sarah Lena.
It's like the best thing
for you.
Oh, yeah,
it's the least calories too. My friend Sarah Lena, when she was breastfeeding, like her doctor was like, drink a lot of Guinness.
What?
Because it's like hoppy and has a lot of whatever. I don't know, things that babies need to get fucked up on. Fill those holes
it's
in those
babies'
brain.
It's weird that women can drink and breastfeed. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Pump and dump. That's what they do. My sister was breastfeeding or like pumping in Colorado. You pump all day long.
It's there wild.
Is so she was like, Nikki, feel this bag. It was like all her milk. She was like, this is all came out of me today. And I'm just like, what the hell? And there was one moment where she left her hand pump at our Airbnb. She left her motorized pump parts at the Airbnb. So she had no way to get the milk out of her breast. And she was like,
so how did she get it?
She's freaking out. She was like, I need to do it now. And I'm like, well, we can Uber Eats a Target. Like, you know, we can do a run like and get Uber
Just
Eats
anything.
Just have
the guy drive over and take care of it.
Yeah, get her baby on a
no. Wait, so
speed train.
What did she do with the bag? I could
well,
see
you know
you
what
give,
I said. I go. I could see we need like, to calm down here because what did women do? What did Native American women do before a hand pump or a breast pump? Are your boobs really going to explode? Like, because she just gets in this like but I, Nikki, I need to, right? We cannot go to Red Rocks. And I was like, okay, can it wait an hour? No, it can't. I'm like, well, then why would you ever put yourself in a position where you would be in the, she goes, I don't. I usually have a hand pump and an electrical one, but I lost them both. And I'm like, well, then you should have a third thing, which is, I don't know. I know moms are like, you don't get it, girl. But like, I don't know. There should,
well,
if I was
a
in a position where my
here.
Boobs would explode.
Yeah.
I would have maybe five backup plans for them to not explode, just in case. I really would. But maybe I'm not, maybe I don't know. What are you supposed to do? Well, so you're supposed to just milk your own tit. I know there's a way that doesn't involve a pump.
Yeah,
it's not ideal, but I know there's a way.
Stranger.
You get someone to suck on them.
Yeah, you get a neighbor, a nice neighbor.
I guess you're right. I mean, I would have done that. I would have pulled a, what's the grapes
maybe
of wrath?
You could suck through your hand or something so you didn't have to latch onto her nipple.
I just don't want to touch. No,
I would,
I mean,
suck on my brother's nipple to get if he needed it.
Yeah,
it's
I don't think
different.
I would feel any kind of sexual like feeling at all.
No. Brenna sucked on my nipples the other day, and I don't know if I like it's.
Yeah,
it's
because
sensitive.
You have so much nipple insecurity anyway.
Yeah.
Even with your girlfriend that you know loves you, you're still gonna have
it
weirdness.
Tickles though. It does tickle. But wait, so what did she do? Did she get the milk out?
She. Like calm down for like 2 seconds and then everything was fine because my friend had up like it just this is my family and me, like something goes wrong, everything's fucked, then I'm not going to Red Rocks, I'm not doing anything, my boobs are gonna explode and we're all gonna die, like that's what it goes to from zero to that.
Yeah.
And what it needed was, okay, what are other options? Like, because I don't know about this stuff.
Can we Google options to get milk out that's
yeah,
not
no,
a pump?
No, we don't need to do that. She I can think, do that on her own.
No, but I
don't,
think we could help others.
No, mothers can do that. Sorry, I know you're all very busy. Mothers can figure it out on their own. I don't think that's something we need to Google for them. It just, and I know I'm being insensitive, but I'm not. I just don't like someone going... It just reminded me, it's classic my dad. Like, my sister and I are products of my dad, and we catastrophize immediately.
Why do you think he goes to those places? He would do it when you were
he
kids?
He said that it's because, yeah, all the time. Well, I guess we're not going to go to Florida then. I don't know. It's just, well, this traffic, we're going to miss our flight. We're not going to go to Florida. We're not going to get in. Because if we don't check in on time, then our whole hotel stay. Like, he would just go, keep going. Yeah. And then it would be like, we're not going to Florida. And then it would be us crying, being like, because we're 5 minutes late. Or like, because of this traffic accident, because someone died in this traffic accident. Now we're mad at a dead person. Like, he taught us to like, everything is out to get us. Mm. And everything's inconveniencing us. And we are the victims. And I remember getting older and being like, why do you do this all the time? Every time there is a chance where it could go good or go bad, it's always bad. And then, you know, from then on, it's bad, bad, bad. And he said, because then when it's good, it's all the better because you thought it was going to be bad. So it's good. If you have no expectations.
Yeah.
And that is why I have a term called, or that's why I often say the phrase, I haven't earned a nap yet. Because I have a father who likes to make things so bad so that you can enjoy them.
Yes.
Wow.
It all adds up. It all adds up there.
I mean, I don't know if that's deep. Direct correlation, but there's something there, I think. There has to be.
Oh,
but yeah, that pessimism that like, well, all right, well then, I guess we're not going then.
The brewery was good, but then we sat outside and it was four women with four babies just talking about babies and weddings. So loud that it's like, I know we're outside. I know that you guys are having a nice girls conversation, but it's just like, I don't know. It was just like, they're going to have 40 people at the wedding. Why don't they have this kind of wedding? And it's just like all the same conversation.
Yes.
And then it's like, and my baby's this, and my baby's that. And we're just trying to like listen to music and just enjoy our little crispy beers. And it's just like, their voices are just, it was like the woman on the plane the other day.
Yeah.
It's just like, your person's right next to you.
They're so proud of their lives that they quietly hate and that they drink wine every night to escape, that they need to show off in front of their friends, and they definitely need to be louder around a pretty girl who's probably not married to make her feel bad about that she doesn't have the things that, like, they probably clock the people around them
that are
and they want to make them jealous.
Life. Yeah.
They want to, they yeah, exactly, that are enjoying life and they want to, like, you know, you see any girl with a boyfriend or that couple clearly doesn't have a baby. If you talk about your baby, you know, you used to be a girl that wanted a baby. You know, it's going to bother her. You know, it's going to secretly make you feel better about yourself that you have something that this person doesn't have, even though you don't even like what you have now. And it's kind of ruining your life and you kind of regret it.
You need a Jaguar.
Yeah, exactly. And then and then you just talk about your wedding so loudly. There is no reason for anyone to talk that loudly unless you have a hearing issue. And four women do not all have a hearing issue together. It is. Were they drunk?
They weren't that drunk. It was still kind of early in the day. But I also like when they come up with their new baby and maybe they haven't seen the baby yet. And there's always a baby reveal with a stroller because it has a convertible. Yes. The stroller. And it's always a mom going, ta-da. And this baby it's like a was chef. So ugly, dude.
Really?
Like it wasn't like messed up or anything. Yeah. It was just strong head, this baby. Right. It was, and if I was her friend, I would. Like, I don't my think good
you would
friend.
Know. I don't think you would. No. No, you would say to Ari, but you wouldn't say it to a girl. Yeah. You do not say it to a mother that your baby is not attractive. You wouldn't say it. And the thing is, Andrew, you won't know if your baby is unattractive. You won't think it is.
What do you mean? Do you think you have baby filter with your eyes?
Oh, with
you
your
can't
own eyes?
Admit that your own baby's ugly?
No, you can't.
My sister-in-law admits that her third child has a gigantic head that looks
like
a rock.
That doesn't mean ugly.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean ugly.
Yeah. Nah.
I just don't. People with dogs, even, I just go, your dog is not cute. Like, some people's dogs, I'm sorry. I'm going to be controversial right now.
Well, that's what I was doing.
No, babies, everyone talks about ugly babies. They do. Everyone, I was just saying, you're right about ugly babies. I'm just saying you would never tell a woman her baby was ugly. Maybe your dude friends.
I went up there, I go, you know what? Next round's on me because your baby's fucking disgusting.
Next round should probably be on someone else too if your genetics had anything to do with that lady.
Next round, I'm going to use your baby's head as
round,
a coaster.
Don't use your husband, use me and maybe we'll fix something. Dogs, not a fan of a lot of dogs in the way they look. Can I, and this is going to offend listeners. I think I might alienate because people are so obsessed with their dogs that if you don't like their kind of dog, but I think it's the people I'm ready to be controversial. What?
Well, it depends.
It's not the people, it's the kind of dog
you're going after.
And it's not the dog. I love all animals. I love fucking house centipedes. I want every animal to live and have a great life. Right out of the gate, you can't get mad at me. I'm a vegan. If you're not a vegan and you're like, you said my dog's ugly. I said your dog's ugly and I don't like the look of it. I didn't say it deserves to die. You're the one eating animals. So I'm starting from that. Okay. Shih Tzus. Sorry.
I don't like them.
They are not cute. Some of them can be cute. They can like move in ways that are cute. Actually, I love Shih Tzus, but I don't like when they go to the vet and they get little rubber bands in their hair. I don't like that they have like a white mustache. I don't like.
Can we pull up a Shih Tzu? I'm thinking I know what a Shih Tzu. Some little like teacup kind of
dog. They just remind me of
a
grandmother's dog. They always have listen, Marion has a lot of dirt in her eyes, but she has a more wiry like fur.
Big dog.
And she has like an underbite that is super ugly but cute. But Shih Tzus that have like perfectness to them.
Yes.
Like a perfect Shih Tzu. Not an ugly. I like an ugly Shih Tzu. But a one that's perfect that has like. Oh, wait. That's cute. Okay. I take it back. Shih Tzus are cute.
Okay.
I don't
so
like
which
when
one
they're
of these
too
is
manicured.
Controversial.
Wait. Here.
Nikki's not giving a fuck right now.
Wait.
Oh, that
oh,
one.
Yeah. The one on the top left. Wait.
This one has a rubber band.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yorkies, which
they're
by the way.
They're always grandma dogs.
Luigi is part Yorkie. Spoiler alert for the show. Who is your doggy?
Oh, whoa.
He's about a third Yorkie.
Ooh,
and
Yorkshire.
I don't like Yorkies. They look like little, you remember when the Ottoman in Beauty and the Beast came alive and it was like a dog?
Hmm.
It was like, they're like that. They don't have expressions. They don't ever go. They just like have their mouth closed and their stupid fur is so straight and perfect. And I just don't like it.
Oh, that's. Aren't they tall? Are those
little?
No,
they're little.
Oh, I'm thinking of
that. And then my number one hated dog.
Oh, boy. This should be a...
top one, bottom one?
Well, what's it called? A Basset Hound just won, actually. Best
Basset
of
Hounds,
show.
No, not crazy about Basset them because they remind me of my vagina skin, but I think they're cute.
What, red eyes?
The dogs that... let me just say, Yorkies are cute. All dogs are cute except... dogs with human eyes. I'm sorry, Carlisle Forrester. Your dog has human eyes. It is cute.
Chloe.
There are times where it looks pretty when it's closing its eyes, when it's looking out the window.
Cute.
But human eye dogs, no. With blue eyes
I mean,
and
pupils that you can see. They are not cute. They scare me. I think they deserve love. I think they are sweet. I think they are good doggies, but I don't like them. And I would, and if I would adopt one because I love all animals, but sometimes Kiwi, when I used to have a bird.
Contacts in them.
Yeah. Well, I used to have a bird. Brown. Kiwi that I loved more than anything, but sometimes birds will be like hormonal in a way that their eyes, my sister and I used to see it, their eyes will get super small and they'll have like a cornea almost. Like usually their eyes are all black, which makes a cute baby. That's why babies, animals, their eyes are all black because it's a cute, adorable looking thing and you're less likely to prey upon something that is adorable and defenseless. Bunnies with big black eyes, when they get pupils that like zero in on things and you can see the color of their eye, iris, disgusting. And Kiwi used to get that. And so even I have animals that kind of make me sick sometimes. Luigi, he never goes... He always has his mouth shut. And I love that about him.
He has a very dry mouth for a dog.
No. I mean, look at him right now.
He really does. Do you know what I mean? He has a dry... I've never seen him drool.
No. He never drools. And he, you know, in this heat, he will go on a short walk and be like... and he'll look like he's smiling, but he always looks depressed. That's how they
sweat. He has a very Joker face when he's smiling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's how they sweat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Their noses
I had a
get
quick
wet.
Question for you.
Carlisle's dog looks like the White Watchers.
Yeah, yeah,
white
looks like a wolf. Yeah,
looks like Falcor from the Neverending Story.
It is a beautiful
eyes.
Dog, though.
Dreyu,
I'm really sorry, Carlisle, and I actually do love that dog, and I've come to learn to love Chloe, even though she has human eyes. But I would have those removed if I were her. I would pull a Natalie from you know the pod a couple.
I'd like a human with dog eyes. You never see that.
The other day you did when I got dilated.
Oh my God, that was wild. You look like True Blood.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what was your question, no?
So we have these hummingbirds that come to our feeder. Oh, cute. And the other day I was wondering, like, what do birds do all day? Do they just fly around or like do they sit on a branch?
I think hummingbirds, that's a good question. I think they are probably in their little nests. But I do think they fly during the day. But I think that takes so much energy to flutter your wings that much that they constantly need to be eating. So I think they are constantly fluttering around. But birds, mostly, they kind of like hop around and they sit in trees, I think. I think maybe you know what I always wondered about pigeons was where do they go? Because they're everywhere during the day on the sidewalk. And I know they go up high in the buildings to nest. Mm-hmm. But where'd they be at? Well, squirrels.
Yeah, I mean, look, their whole lives are just—they're just looking for food
whales.
All day.
Whales are the squirrels of Cabo.
Imagine if we didn't have food and we had to find food every day. That's what they do. That's,
I mean, that's
their
what
day.
We do.
But it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, man?
All right, let's get to the news. Maybe we'll some.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh man, it's Tuesday, folks. You know what that means? It is Tuesday. Hope you're having all the swells. Apparently. You are, because it is nice out. It's 85 degrees here in St. Louis, so I imagine it's probably pretty nice where you are. Back to you, Noah.
Wait, can I tell you about my dentist? See if you reckon it. My dentist's name is Dr. Bakula, which I love, because guess what? Mitch Hedberg used to have a joke that was like, yeah, I see, my dentist is named, I see a dentist, his name is Dracula, or, you could also pronounce it Dr. Acula. And so I think it's crazy that it's close to that joke, which I butchered. It's something like that. But his uncle is Scott Bakula.
Why do I know that name?
Quantum Leap. One of the biggest stars of the 80s, who just happened to be the most famous person that ever went to my high school. I'm second place, I think. But people go, well, you're probably the number one. Who the fuck is Scott Bakula? If you were in the 80s,
yes.
Scott Bakula was... I mean, Bradley Cooper levels of famous. So it would be like, you know, I'm in no comparison to Scott Bakula, but my dentist is Dr. Bakula, Scott Bakula's
nephew.
Do
you look like him?
I don't know what Scott Bakula looks like. I know he's on NCIS now.
Oh.
He looks very different than he did back then. He's a handsome guy, very tall, very low voice.
Good hair.
Great hair.
A lot of chest hair, I remember.
Oh, really? Yeah, but I got a filling, and it's so fun. They asked if I wanted nitrous. And
it?
I couldn't say yes fast enough. I was like, yeah. And then I remembered being a kid getting the tubes over my nose to get nitrous. Did you used to get it?
Yeah, I've gotten a laughing gas or whatever.
Yeah. I, as a kid, I had a flashback to remembering, and this is before I ever did cigarettes, this is fourth, fifth grade, getting fillings, which I got all the time because I ate so much candy. I remember not knowing what nitrous did, just knowing that they gave it to me. I had no concept of what this could be. I didn't know what drugs were. I didn't know what an altered state of mind was. And I used to come up with a tool where I'd go, I'd breathe out of my mouth and I'd suck in through my nose as much as possible. So I was already like a drug addict when I was a kid. Making it really tight over my nose and worrying about that it wasn't tight enough, that I wasn't getting enough. And I would get so loopy and I would stare at the little pieces on the wall that I was doing again today. You know, like the wall of a dentist is the same everywhere where it has this like kind of spackled tiling, and then I would stare at a spot and I would try to keep staring at that spot and be like, that spot has never gotten stared at before and I'm going to give that spot its due. It was so weird, but I was doing that all again today.
What was the music in dentist office was always like that, like not elevator, but like slow jams, like soft loving rock. Soft rock.
And I'll be your crying shoulder.
Today the soap opera on TV.
There would be soap operas on TV. Yes, there would be daytime
motivation
TV.
Motivation on the wall, like some kind of courage. It takes one man to leap through his own teeth to get braces or something.
All for you. Burr, 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 burr. Say what it is I see. The one time at the dentist that I went to in New York, who I love that dentist, I forget his name now, but he would play Sirius, but he would play his station that he liked. And one day it really was, and I've said this before, it was, you're a crazy bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it when I'm and he was in my mouth when this was going on. I was like, Jesus Christ.
It's like, why, put a glove on.
Yeah, it was wild.
I have an insane dentist story. I'll save it for after the news. Keep them.
All right. Wait, is it from recently?
No, of course not.
Okay, I was going to say.
One of these kids at the driving range today asked if I was lost a tooth. Just walked by me. He goes, did you lose a tooth? And I go, damn well, do you know me?
Wait, why did he ask that? Did he find one on the
ground? I had gum in my mouth. I go, it's gum. He's like, no, I'm talking about your shitty teeth. No, he didn't. But I was just like, dude, that's like pretty. I go,
I've never been asked that in my life.
If you lose a tooth.
Who gets asked?
I don't know. I was like, fuck you, kid. Your tooth fairy's not coming for you. He's like, you're right.
Did he find a tooth on the ground? And he was just
asking I was
around.
Chewing white gum, and I think he saw the gum in my mouth, and he thought just had a tooth floating around.
That you were just chewing on?
Yeah.
Tooth fairy went broke. she had a hard year.
My mom had to sell the Jaguar to get me the money. They're like,
we can't keep up with all this.
They got rid of my pillows just so they didn't have anywhere to put the cash. Fucking Jesus, I miss my teeth. Okay, what's up, Noah?
All right, so there's a new study, and it finds that going to a festival can leave you more connected to humanity and more willing to help strangers for at least 6 months afterwards.
Whoa, that's a long
time. Like a music festival? Or any festival?
Hangover. Any kind of festival.
A compassion hangover for 6 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Strawberry festival, bluegrass festival. A Coachella.
I saw some TikTok where it's like, if you're 50 years old, we don't want you at a festival. You don't belong at a festival. Like,
no way.
Yeah, I swear.
There's a lot of TikToks I come across that are ironic. They're making fun of. They're so good at pretending to be cringe that they're making fun of it.
No,
so a lot of times I've been like,
just...
this. Every time I see it on Reddit, there has to be a discussion in the comments about is this real or not? Because this person might be mocking people who actually make videos.
Gotcha.
But this person was
felt real. It felt like, you know, there's always that one like older guy that's just enjoying himself, really free.
It's really, young people really don't think they're going to age. They really don't think they'll ever be the guy. And guess what? I secretly don't think I will either. I'm 38, but I really do not plan on being 60 at some point.
How was seeing Bare Naked Ladies, by the way?
I'll tell you what. Being
listening
at
that song with $1 million?
What'd you say?
Listening to that song when you have
$1 million.
I'd be at this concert milking my sister's tits.
I spent $900 on 4 tickets and 3 of the people that went with me. Yes, that's everyone that went with me didn't really enjoy it. I had to leave before the finale. Was it well before the finale? Yes, about 3 songs before it.
And for 6 months now, you're going to be a better person.
If I had $1 million, I would buy tickets to a show and not get to hear the song $1 million because it was 9th on the set list and my friends got really tired. I had to leave fucking early. Why? Because they had to get up early. No, I was the only one that had to get up early. No, that's not true.
Who opened for them?
Gin Blossoms and Toad the Wet Sprocket. We got there for Gin Blossoms, which were great. But here's the wild thing. And by the way, they didn't want to.
You missed the Wet Sprocket?
They wanted to leave early because it wasn't as great as we would have hoped. And I will give them that. And I would have stayed till the end if they weren't there. But they were. And I didn't mind leaving early. I really didn't. Gin Blossoms and Bare Naked Ladies. I did not know. First of all, Gin Blossoms, those songs are so good. I love them so much. I realized I didn't do my research. The guy that wrote, you know, Hey Jealousy, and then the other Follow You Down, and then there was another one that loved. He killed himself.
Oh.
Like the same year they blew up. He couldn't take it. Like, so he did, I think there's one live performance of them after they blew up on Letterman, and then he killed himself. And so the lead singer was not the writer of the songs. It was the lead guitarist. Whoa. He killed himself. So they kept going. But the person that wrote those songs, which for me, I don't really like singers as much as I like songwriters. Singers are great if they write the songs too, but I'm not really interested in hearing people sing songs.
Do other people's work.
That they didn't write themselves. I mean, yes, I love Whitney Houston and
Mariah Carey.
Celine Dion. Mariah Carey writes all her own songs.
Oh, she does?
I know. Isn't that impressive? Britney Spears. But there's something added when the person wrote the song. It just is. And so it took something from me to see them, even though his voice was still perfect. The Gin Blossoms lead singer, perfect. They were great. They were truly great. Bare Naked Ladies, they start, and I'm like, where's the other guy? They broke up. They split up in 2005. The Bare Naked Ladies I know and love split up in 2005. So there used to be two.
I just remembered a brown hair guy. I know there was two. I remember
there's
there
one
two.
With glasses that goes, yeah. Hold it. No, that guy's the one that... The
rapper guy,
Chickadee China, yeah. The Chinese chicken, the guy that sings that part, he is not in the band anymore.
That's like the main dude.
And then the other guy that's like,
who does his part?
They do.
Just music? And by the way, instrumental?
Ed Robertson, who is still in the band, is fucking amazing and covers both parts seamlessly. But there is something, I think that I had talked to Baba Booey earlier on in the day, weirdly enough, because I did a thing for Howard Stern, and he told me that the guy that left Bare Naked Ladies is fine with leaving them because he wrote the theme song for Big Bang Theory, so he gets all of the residuals from that, and he'll be set for life. Even though they did do that song during the show, which I think you can do. What are you doing?
Counting the syllables. Bare Naked Ladies, Big Bang Theory. Very similar. It all adds up.
Oh my God, what's this conspiracy theory?
I'm seeing a lot of math right now.
But they didn't play the hits. They played Brian Wilson. They played Million Dollars, which I didn't see because it was at the end. But I saw the set list later on. They played, It's Been. They played, Kirsten, by the way, does the best It's Been that has ever been recorded. It is seriously flawless.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yours is a good one.
Real quick, though. Wait, do we have time to tell this before the break?
Boom, boom, boom.
All right, you know what? Let's take a quick break and come back with more of this, whatever this is.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Columbine, I went there a second time, right? So I went at night with the ghost woman. No, this is good. You'll like this.
No, I told the ghost woman story to Brenna today in the car, and she kind of found it fascinating.
It is fascinating. Thank you. I'm glad someone did. Okay, so you guys were just like, okay. But I probably told it wrong. So during the day, we go.
We want to hear her side.
So I would love to hear her side. Oh, my God. Ghost woman. If someone can locate ghost Christian woman somewhere, which, by the way, last night, I have to say, I got a little bit nervous. But Colbert's never had me on, and he never is going to have me on. But I'm a little annoyed. I saw a clip of Colbert, like, doing, you know, he tosses to a really funny sketch that I'm sure was written by his writers who are on the right side of things. And I believe Colbert's on the right side of things. But he's a practicing, devout Catholic.
Yeah.
And Roe versus Wade was overturned because of religion and because of powerful men in religion. And it all, Catholicism is a bad thing. And I know that you might be Catholic out there. Why? And it's, the Catholic Church does good. Like I said yesterday, I love people that get saved by Jesus and get their life together. Like, I'm spiritual. I believe in God. Catholicism is disgusting. It's a bad, you should see the amount of, there just was a list. There's like been 103,000 children molested by like the Catholic Church, aided and abetted. It's a bad organization, and I don't care if I lose followers from it. I don't like Catholicism. Catholics, I do like. I just think that they are being, you know,
Brainwashed.
Thank you. So Colbert, which I've always felt like, why is he Catholic? How can you be that funny and that, like? And I get it. He lost his family in a plane crash. Like,
and he did a character. For a lot of his career. I'm just saying.
I know, but he's still the person you know.
I know that.
Spoken against Trump and the Republicans, like doing the right stuff.
Yes.
But last night he pitched to this. I saw online he pitched to this video about like
girls doing pregnancy. It's a commercial for pregnancy tests, and all you do is pan a stick and you find out if you have rights or not. It's really funny. Yeah. So like it just says rights or no rights, and it's always no rights. And then it's like a girl is like, and then at one point there's like Brett Kavanaugh's face shows up on it, and the girl's like, I'm gonna do this again, and they're like, you can't, those aren't reusable. She's like, I just want to pee on his face. And it's funny, but I don't know that I really want to have my political satire about women slowly losing their rights in such a profound way that like my mom cried when she got the news. Like women, whether or not you understand this and you're a woman out there listening being like, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. I was on the road, so I wasn't able to let it like in my heart and how bad this is and how it's not looking good. And as a woman who doesn't even know, I can't even conceive probably, so it's not going to affect me, but of course it will affect me because you know, it's going to affect everyone that women can't get access to abortion, and it's terrifying, and it has nothing to do with children's lives. Some people are very anti-abortion because of children's lives. God love you. You have a right to feel that way. I really love you. If you think that life begins at conception, if you think it's murder, like I will hear your argument, but this is not about that.
Yeah.
This is about men wanting to control women's bodies and being and wanting to punish women for being quote unquote sluts. That's what I believe. And I believe it is also, and you know, I'm an idiot, but I believe it is religion. This is all religion based in that we give more, you know, we pretend like the Bible is facts, but the Bible gets more credibility as factual than I was going to say when we were in the Mississippi show in Brandon, Mississippi, that got canceled. I was going to say, you know, I looked up interesting facts about Brandon, Mississippi, but it said, you're in Mississippi. Do you mean interesting fake news about, because facts don't matter, but the Bible does for some reason. Anyway, I just put on my Instagram last night, like, I don't like Colbert giving me political satire about this as a devout practicing Catholic. No. And I wonder if anyone else feels that way, because I just feel like it's hypocritical. Meanwhile, I'm the biggest fucking hypocrite alive about many, many things. I realize no one can be perfect. I'm grateful that he even seminates things that might go against his Catholic beliefs, but I still find it a little bit wonky. And I really don't want to hear men giving comedy about this. I don't really want it. Unless you're actually furious about it. I don't want quirky comedy about like pee on a stick and find out if you have rights. How insane is that? Yeah. That's a comedy bit that we're joking that women, it's so close. We're literally losing our rights. This is episode one of Handmaid's Tale, which is the only episode I've seen because it was so fucking scary that it's a modern society where women suddenly all their money is being shifted to their husband's bank accounts. That is not that far off from this, you guys. I don't believe, and maybe I hope I'm proven wrong.
No, I mean, so many states,
not funny,
including Missouri.
It's not funny.
It's fucking wild. Like some of these red states, like even if you, like in Alabama, if you get raped by your own father and you're 12 years old, you have to carry the baby to term or you go to jail for life. Like that's literally the law right now. Like that is the actual law that if you like. It's just, you know, certain states, Missouri being one of them. Missouri, if you go in for like an atopic pregnancy and you need to, they like, some of these states, they just won't do it. You'll have to go and then you might die because you got to drive 10 hours and you got to prove to them that you're sick enough to get an abortion. You got to prove that you're dying.
Oh, yeah. And some of them can opt out of it. And by the way, a list came out that the New York Times put out yesterday where everyone was like praising all these companies for being able to pay for women's abortions to fly out of state.
Yeah.
Fuck that list. Thank you for those companies stepping up. What woman wants to tell her fucking boss that she needs to go get an abortion? These are all companies. These are Fortune 500 companies. No one. I want to see Hollister make this rule or Best Buy or Schnucks.
Well, I saw something.
It's not going to happen. A Quick Trip.
Yeah. I saw,
where are those companies?
I saw something interesting with that in the sense of these companies are like, yeah, we're doing it because
and they shouldn't
greater
have to
good,
do it.
But because it would cost them more if women actually got pregnant and had babies
had
and not work.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's actually like something
it's definitely on a
balance sheet somewhere.
Where they're like, listen, if we just send these women off to Las Vegas for a weekend.
Girls' weekend. Trips. Here's some fentanyl, go to town. But the other thing too is that with these companies, to be able to like it's not going to be as easy as like, oh, here's $4,000. You're going to have to go through so many steps to get the money to, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, we'll take care of your finances afterwards.
By the way, getting abortions isn't fun. No one wants to get one, by the way. Girls aren't using it as, I'm not going to say no one uses it as contraception and is like, oh, I'll just get an abortion, not a big deal. Of course people have said that. That is not what is going on here. And if you make a high school girl who had sex keep her baby because you decided to have sex, girl who doesn't even know how to drive yet, who is not old enough to go fight in war, who's not old enough to have a gun, even though you wish she were, because you're trying to change that law probably. How is that girl able to make a decision like to have sex? And I have a joke in my act now about, and it's not even about Roe versus Wade, but it's about, you know, teaching girls how to give handjobs early on, like in middle school, as a part of sex ed, so that girls don't sleep with boys too soon, because girls know they need to get guys off. They want guys to like them. Girls in high school are not having sex because they enjoy sex. Maybe some of them are because they started in middle school and they figured it out. But sex with, I go, in my act, I say, have you ever fucked a high schooler? Come on, it's not enjoyable. I was a teacher. And then people go, oh, and I go, and so I've talked to my students about it.
Yeah, it's a joke.
But girls are not having sex in high schools because they're such sluts and they need to get their holes filled and they just love it so much and they can't help it. They don't care about the consequences because they're just slutty sluts that want boys, just want to control men. They do it because they want boys to like them. So for them to be punished by bringing a life into this world for that, you're fucking insane. And that's all I'll say on
that. Also, women have to do so much to not get pregnant.
Yeah,
you have to do so much. Men just to get fucking, fuck just to fuck normally. You have to do so much.
I swear to God, there is no. We all know that it takes two to tango, but there is no talk of any accountability. There's no talk of condoms. Vasectomies. There's no talk of abstinence. There's no talk of literally teaching girls how to give handjobs. There's no preventative thing. Talk about.
Well, they want to get rid of contraception.
Well, if you think abortion is being used as contraception, you're giving them no choice because there's no way to prevent sex before that, because girls are being sexualized so much sooner than ever before because of TikTok. Like, men want women to be sexualized younger because they're gross, and yet they punish them when they do enjoy sex at a younger age or an older age. I don't care when you're getting an abortion. And God, I mean,
I hate the Constitution stuff too, because then the Constitution, I heard.
I mean, the Second Amendment is already like, we're like, come on. That was written when there were muskets that needed to took 15 minutes to load or whatever.
Militia. They like to say, well, the gun stuff is actually in there. To get an amendment, you need like 67% approval rate, which is impossible. That will never happen.
All I want is just people to be mad. That's all. Like, and I know that anger is just a scary thing, especially for a woman. I don't need, for myself, I felt guilty on Friday because I just didn't care. It almost felt like when the Uvalde shooting happened, and I was talking on this podcast where I was, and I even posted, like, I'm done. Like, I was reading that Parkland book. Like, I know what the gun legislation is. Like, it's never going to happen. I give up. And I want to not be in that state of like, it's over. I give up, because that's when they win.
Yeah.
We cannot stop being mad. We cannot stop being loud and angry. Even when they're pulling us away and locking us up, we still need to be angry, because you can't give up. Dan Rather had this great quote that I posted on my Instagram that I just want to read, and that will go to our Reddit dump and we'll get off this subject. But I just needed to say something about it. The Dan Rather quote that I love, that is now gone, but my dad sent it to me. Fuck, hold on. Let me just pull this up. My dad sent it to me because he was like, oh, I really liked that. You know, in my dad's voice. One second. Dad, where are you? Where are you, Dad? Where are you? 1 second. I'm so sorry. Edgeler. Oh, so the Dan Rather, it was on like a series of things that he had written, but it said, sometimes major setbacks precede and even spur transformational victories. So this is a major, major setback.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a thing you need to happen where they take too much. They've taken a little here and there. Yeah. They keep whittling it off in a way that we get angry, but not all of us get angry. This is such an egregious one that feels like such a loss and maybe the end of times for women in a way. But it also could be the thing that their mistake that they made, that they took too much and now we're going to fucking get really mad.
You know what I was thinking about that? Because I think this can be an amazing catalyst. I know women don't want to hear guys say that we can bounce back.
No, we want your support. Please. But I want men to be outspoken.
But what I'm worried about, and I thought, I don't know, this is a weird conspiracy I might have, that like, so in the past, presidents, like, they have the ability to not listen to the Supreme Court. Like, I don't know exactly how it's done, but they have done, there's precedent of them going, no, we're not listening to you fucking nine fucking or eight, whatever, fuck you. We're not doing what, yeah. It happened with slavery with Lincoln.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is Biden does that, and then Republicans go, hey, look at how they're not listening to the Supreme Court, and then the Republicans use it to
say they're not, they're
wow,
not,
they're going over us. They don't even care.
They're anarchists.
And then they use that to fucking, yes. I don't know, that's like a conspiracy I have. That hopefully isn't true. It doesn't work
I just
out.
Want to remind people, because I didn't know this, and we really will move on, but I know if you're annoyed with what I'm saying, please don't skip past this, because I don't think people in our age and even lower know this. Clarence Thomas, who is the one.
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking
that reversed
piece of shit.
Roe versus Wade. He was one of the, yeah. You know. Do you know, does every, think for a second, do you know what he did, what he was tried for, what he was accused of by Anita Hill? Because I didn't know. I mean, I knew little things, but I was a young child at the time. Clarence Thomas, who is one of the Supreme Court justices, a woman who served, oh, here's another woman. Okay, so let me just get it straight so I know all the details. Anita.
And it's for and fucking she, life. These Supreme Court fucking guys are in there for life.
What else is like for
and
life?
And they get in at fucking like 40.
So in 1991, President George Bush nominated Clarence Thomas, blah, 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 blah. He had good character. He was being presented as a primary qualification for the high court because he had only been a judge for slightly more than 1 year. Oh, that means, that seems like he'd be great.
Yeah.
Thomas's nomination and his confirmation seemed assured until a report of a private interview of Hill, Anita Hill, by the FBI was leaked to the press. The hearings were then reopened and Hill was called publicly to testify. So, in 1991, October 11, 1991, in televised hearings that Thomas, Clarence Thomas, had sexually harassed her while he was her supervisor at the Department of Education. Here we go. When questioned on why she followed Thomas to the second job after he had already allegedly harassed her, why would she do that?
Oh, wow.
She said that working in a reputable position within the civil rights field had been her ambition. Okay, so you put up with stuff, even especially stuff that you know you're never going to actually have justice over.
Also, your next boss will probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, she said, and at the time it had appeared that his sexual overtures had ended when she took the second job. So this is what he used to. So Thomas asked her out socially many times during her 2 years of employment as his assistant. And after she declined his request, he used work situations to discuss sexual subjects. He spoke about having sex with animals, having sex with women, films showing group sex or rape scenes. He's talked about his own sexual prowess and details of his anatomy. Hill also recounted an instance in which Thomas examined a can of Coke on his desk and asked, who has put pubic hair on my Coke? He put pubic hair on a can of Coke. That was a thing he did, I believe.
Jackass prank.
This guy is still... Why is he still
He's
there?
He's also gotten money from political parties before. Like, that's proven. And like four of them also said they weren't going to overturn Roe versus Wade in their interviews.
If
but
anyone has
perjury.
Extra, because I don't want to, I'll go through this whole thing later, maybe pepper and stuff throughout the week. But we need to remember that talk about Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, accused of rape as well. I'm sorry, if you've been accused of rape, you don't get to be on the Supreme Court. There's a lot of people that haven't been accused of rape.
Yeah.
And I know you're like, well, then anyone would just come up and say, he raped me. And no, did you watch her testimony? Come on.
She doesn't.
No one's a good. No one wants.
People,
she doesn't want to be famous. And
no
rape
she
victim.
She doesn't want that.
Give me one example of a rape victim who has gotten famous from accusing someone of rape. Just give me one.
The only person that I can think of that has had a career based off.
And I'm
Monica
not saying
Lewinsky.
All-
No, no, no! I'm not saying. Wait, before you go into me,
I know she's famous because of what happened.
I'm not saying she used that as a. She'd rather that not happen.
Oh yeah,
of course. But I'm just saying, I'm thinking of someone that I could even think of, that made an accusation.
She turned it into a handbag company. This bitch did not want to be famous. I'm talking about someone who clearly their motive was, I want a TV show.
No,
I want to be on TV.
I'm just saying she's the only one I could think of.
No, she only got famous. She didn't want to be famous. She got famous
from it.
That's
my point. My point is I can't even think of
another
one.
So there isn't anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no one. Okay, Reddit dump.
Well, Johnny Depp. He just got $300 million. Did you see that?
No, disgusting. you know what? I believe.
This is your Reddit dump.
Final thoughts on Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I think they're both terrible. Okay? That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming, I'm not victim shaming Johnny Depp. I'm sure he was a victim to abuse from Amber Heard. But do I think he was a saint? Hell no. Do I think she was a victim too? Yes, I do. Okay, final thought. Okay, so here's your Reddit dump. We're getting on to light stuff. Thank you if you stayed through that.
And are we going
to
do another final thought?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to say final thought.
Don't keep it in.
I mean Reddit dump. Okay, so here's a great question that I wanted your input on because I really don't know the answer to this. I believe I know my answer, but Noah and Andrew, I want you to weigh in. This is from Dating Advice, dating_advice.
Yeah.
Can you be completely platonic with someone after you have had sex with them? Now, this is from someone who wrote, so I'm a female in a long distance relationship with a guy. He has a friend that really likes him and obviously has a crush on him. They had sex once a long time ago. He said he was bored with no attachment at the time and he had zero attraction towards her. That's in quotes. They are going out to a movie this weekend and honestly, I'm jealous. One, I'm not afraid that he will start to like her or want to have sex with her. Two, I'm just jealous that she gets to go on a date with him while I can't even get to see him. Three, I would be completely fine if they were going with another friend, not just the two of them. My questions are, am I wrong for feeling this way? Can this relationship be completely platonic after they had sex? And
how many times did they have sex? I'm sorry.
One time.
Just one time.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think, yeah, one time. Yeah. I think if it's like a
lasting relationship.
I know. That'd be hard for me
but
still.
But what about like an ex-wife that like they've been through it, they had kids. Like if I dated a guy who had an ex-wife in his life and they were still friends and maybe she lived in the house next door and they like co-parented, I wouldn't give a fuck. Because he'd be with her if he wanted to be.
Here's the thing with that. It's so definite. Like it's so like, we're broken up. We went through the divorce. We're definitely separated.
Really,
if it's a little,
right?
Yeah,
it changes. Well, what if they are like friends? There are some people that stay best friends with their ex-wife. I know, like, actually, a few guys that are like, actually, we just turned into the greatest friends, and we love each other so much. They say, "I love you." You know.
I wish I could say I'd be completely fine. I'd be fine if they're friends. But
no, I'm
like,
talking about you.
Yeah.
If you think about someone that you've had sex with in the past, do you think that you could be in a totally platonic relationship?
Oh, yes.
Them? So the answer is yes.
Yes.
It's true.
I could.
But whether or not you'd be okay with it does not matter because the fact is you'd be okay with it and it would not be about sex. But if someone like if your girlfriend in this situation had a problem with it, she would be wrong because you're telling me that you could totally have that.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if
I wish I was the other way too. Like I wish.
But can't you see then that maybe it would be the same?
Of course.
I know that you were kind of answering for like if your boyfriend were friends with like if you were this girl. But the question at the beginning is, can you be completely platonic? Can you, Noah, be completely platonic with someone after you have had sex with them?
From experience, I had a friends with benefits situation. Mm-hmm. I was able to be platonic. And then he was able to be platonic too, and we both got into separate relationships, but our friendship kind of dwindled. And I think because we had sex, he thought that like he could, you know, just be like extra flirty with me and stuff. And I think it just fizzled out. It didn't work. But not from jealousy or anything. It just naturally fizzled.
Gotcha.
It's interesting. The guy's like friends with benefits, and it's like, oh, you... No, I just wanted benefits.
Do you know
what he did to me? I didn't want friends. I just wanted benefits. Like, you were benefits with benefits. Like, you were just benefits.
Both of us started hooking up after we both got out of relationships that we wanted to be out of. And then when I got into a new relationship, it was, like, brand new. We were at a bar, and I introduced him to my new boyfriend. And he goes, oh, yeah, she's a wild one, or something like that. And from there, my ex was like, something's up with those two.
No. That's where the other person tries to threaten. Because it's about the other person. Like, this girl doesn't trust the other girl.
Yeah,
she trusts her boyfriend. She just doesn't trust the other girl that this girl is thinking she has a one-up. That's why I always say if Chris were to... If our relationship were to open up in any way, which it's not, but if we ever did something like that, I would need the girl that he goes out with or spends time with, or if he was, you know, there's people that I think he's been with that he's now friends with that he spends alone time with if they're in the same city and they meet up. He just has to be very clear to them that he is in a relationship with me. Like, he has to tell them. And then as long as they know that, try all you want, honey. It's just like, good luck to you. And that's how I feel. But if it were a thing where if someone is choosing to be friends with someone they slept with before, and they're not bringing me in on it, or they're not
like as not that he just talks to me, like if he doesn't invite me to, or like make me want to be like, I can choose whether or not I want to be friends with this girl that he slept with before. This is a, you know, a fake scenario. But if I want to be friends with her and she doesn't, and he doesn't allow that, or like keeps it separate, keep it separated, yeah, I'm going to have a problem. Final
Interesting.
Thought.
Interesting. So if you were in the same, I would find it hard.
I found out once.
I would find
it
hard to be in the room though, and see like a connection, even if it's not sexual, but like a flirtiness, even if I know they don't, they're not going to fuck.
There was one time early on,
you know what I mean? That would be hard for me.
Early on where Chris was friends with this girl and I liked her, like we hung out and I found out retroactively because I hadn't asked. It wasn't even something that came up. It didn't need to come up because it was so platonic, but it came up later. And then I'm you know, usual suspects seeing it, being like, wait, was there any?
Yeah.
And then we hung out later and there was something about it that I loved because I don't know. I know that I'm have like different beliefs about these things, but there was something about it that made me like that they had that connection at one point, that they got over it and now they have this friendship. And that, you know, I've had sex with people that when I see them and sit across the table from them, the whole time I'm like, I cannot believe his penis has been in my mouth. And it's not me going, oh my God, I can't. I'm getting like wet thinking about it. I'm just like, oh my God, like his penis, this guy, you know, 15 years ago, I like swallowed his semen. Like, to me, it's funnier. It's not like sexually charged. So, but I can understand where there are still flirtatious things going on between two people that claim to now be platonic that would very much upset me, even though they aren't going to cheat on me. If there was any kind of flirtation, I mean, it would kind of make me horny, but I'm weird. But I would see how someone would not want me to, I would not be friends with someone I slept with if I had a boyfriend, if there was still something like.
Well, it's impressive that you can, I've always, because I know some of the guys that you have slept with in the past, and you are able, like, in almost like a professor, compartmentalize the fact that you used to have sex, and it really, really, truly doesn't feel, I don't feel any vibe of that.
Because you will know sometimes. Because
I would notice.
I'll be like, this guy that I used to hook up with is coming to the show tonight, or this guy, you know, and then he will come to the show, and I'll see, because I know I can see you are bad at bluffing, so I can see when you're kind of like looking like for things, and then later, and you're always someone to be like, if I do have a connection, when I was single, if I did have a connection with someone, let's say a new person, you'd be like, that cameraman and you, I saw a little something.
Yeah, I could see
you,
that.
You were you're very perceptive about if there's a vibe, and you always get it right. You really do. But there, it's so refreshing when I've been like, wait, did you sense a vibe? Like, did you sense anything? And you're like, nothing. It's always like very nice
or
to be
I'm
like,
surprised
okay,
that you like did have anything to like hooking up with them. And I'm
you
like,
go, them? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, fucking, they're so less famous than you.
I know, but remember? He's my uncle. And so I feel like, I don't know.
Not in Alabama.
He should be able to come backstage.
Fucking A.
All right. Well, we covered final a lot thought. Here. Oh, I already did final thought. We can go. Do you want to rap? We didn't rap yesterday.
I know. I thought you were over. I thought the break, we were done with rapping.
I mean, why don't we do a different genre of music? Well, we can just.
What do you want to do? Country?
Maybe I'll do, not a country, maybe just ballads or like just a song.
Yeah.
Like the way you do, because you kind of gave up on the song today. So maybe we switch it to the end.
Yeah. And maybe I'll do a rap another day.
So today I'm going to do a press tour for my upcoming special and maybe something more. The second season of F-Boy is coming July 14th. And then 2 days later, you're going to see a special from me. Go on HBO and HBO Max and you'll see me standing with a bunch of hot jacked guys. And then you'll see my special called Good Clean Filth, which is the first time you're hearing that word, those words. I'm telling you the name of my special.
Whoa.
I'm announcing it here. Good Clean Filth, July 16th on HBO.
Since we're promoting things, I got a surprise too. I'm headlining my first show. What's it to you? It's gonna be in Nashville, August 30th at 7 p.m. So please come out, besties, and support me.
What night
me.
Of the week so that we can get specific?
It's a Tuesday night. Which
oh, Tuesday
is
in Nashville is great.
Okay, cool.
Tuesday
cool,
night,
cool.
August 30th, the last day of August. It's Tuesday night.
Second to last night.
It's the second to, it's the penultimate night of August. Nashville, plan a trip. Go plan a girls' trip, stay the weekend and then stay through Wednesday. listen, it's August. A bunch of teachers are still off work. Maybe one last week you plan a trip around going to see Andrew. Uh-huh. If he sells out Zany's on a Tuesday night, they'll book him for a weekend and you'll make it things right. So if you are, yeah, if you are in the Nashville area, definitely make the drive, go out, and Andrew will do meet and greets after the show. He'll take pictures. He will be so grateful.
I'll cut your toenails with my teeth.
He'll take requests if you're a bestie and you like have stories that you want him to like work into jokes. Yeah. I bet that would be great for you.
I probably would.
That would be great.
Well, I was thinking about, you'll find out if you go.
Okay. So we'll be promoting that, but August 30th.
What a name.
Yeah. Chris came up with it. I'm very, very proud of it. It's perfect. All right. We got to go. We love you guys so much.
I think he quit on us.
Oh, no. Audio quit. The audio's on that, though.
Audio.
Okay, we're good. Okay, thank you guys so much. Dombika and Jack Antonoff.
What's his name?
Luigi literally gets excited when I say Jack because he knows it's over.
Wow, because he knows it's done.
You're not going for a W because I got to do press, baby dog. Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.